Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Week for the end of week of April 1st through 7th. I'm your host, Colin McIsaac, and as always, I'm joined by Alex Plant.
Vote for me for Smash.
And Ben LeMoreau.
Live and in the flesh.
So this week we are going to talk about the Smash Bros. Fighter ballot and which characters we would like to see as DLC. But first, there were a few big news stories this week for us to talk about. You know the drill by this point, so let's dig in. Unseen64 is reporting that Retro Studios is working on a secret Wii U game with a new engine. We have no idea what it is, or even whether it's coming from an existing franchise, so there's really a lot of mystery to this thing, and what do you guys think?
Well, I'm really hoping that we either get a new Metroid, which, you know, is what a lot of people have been asking for a long time, let Retro return to making 3D Metroid games, or, of course, a new IP, because, I mean, we got Splatoon, and that's great, but I think that's a little more casual. I know it's a shooter game and everything, but it doesn't really appeal to the typical shooter crowd.
Casual.
Yeah, exactly. Filthy casuals. Whereas Metroid, you know, that's something that could really expand Nintendo's audience and maybe bring in some more, or I should say Wii U's audience, not Nintendo's audience, but I think Metroid's the kind of game where even if it is kind of a niche audience, I think there are fans out there who are still holding off to buy a Wii U until they get a new Metroid game.
I would necessarily agree with that. I don't know that Metroid can do that on its own, but good enough point. I'll allow it.
Maybe I'm just hopeful.
Well, I'd say maybe it's not just Metroid. Maybe it's just games targeted at expert players that people are waiting for. And yeah, Colin's right. I don't think one Metroid game is going to do that unless it's for some reason like the bee's knees in the best Metroid game we've ever seen.
Why do we always talk about bees on this podcast?
I love that you said the bee's knees.
Yeah.
About Metroid.
I kind of dated myself a little bit there. I kind of hope that they work on something that's kind of in the same vein as Metroid. I don't know that they necessarily have to work on Metroid. It'd be nice to get a game targeted at maybe at the Metroid audience, but maybe that is in a different genre. Just to give Retro Studios some room to spread their wings a little more than they typically have with the Nintendo franchises they've been working on. And honestly, it's about time they worked on a game with a unique engine. It's been too long, I think.
Yeah, all of Retro's games have run on a variation of the same engine, I believe. Prime's engine was just updated for Prime 2 and then Prime 3. And then they said even the more recent Donkey Kong games were running on a heavily edited version of that engine.
A few of the amiibo from Wave 4, Jigglypuff, Ness, and Greninja, are all retailer exclusives, and surprise, surprise, the fourth wave of amiibo is already completely sold out at GameStop, I believe Best Buy 2, I also think some other retailers. The day that Ness was available for pre-order crashed GameStop servers, the website was down, GameStop couldn't sell and buy things in stores in a lot of locations. It was an absolute nightmare for them. I'm sure Nintendo wasn't happy. Jigglypuff and Greninja are basically impossible to find. It seems like stock is lower for them than ever before. The bottom line is, Wave 4 is the most disastrous line of amiibo that Nintendo has launched to date. Even worse than Wave 2, which still has half its stock sitting on a boat in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. How do they manage to keep doing this?
Please understand.
I'm not going to.
I mean, I guess this just goes to show that Nintendo is just not a very good merchandise company. Because this is their one big first-party merchandise initiative, and they can't even make it work.
They can't even.
They literally can't even.
Oh my god, guys, I, like, can't even. Yeah, no, I mean, it's insane to me, and I've seen so many people that I know who are avid amiibo fans, like big collectors, really, really love these things, myself included, swearing off. I haven't sworn off, but I've considered it.
Have you really considered it, though?
Yes, I'm not actively trying to buy them anymore, so that's a big step forward for me. I'll get whatever I can, but I'm not, like, looking, you know, at the websites trying
Colin
to
Colin is
it.
Attending Amiibo Anonymous conventions and such now.
But anyway, you're having a lot of these people swearing off because Wave 4 was just such a nightmare. They're, you know, these figures are worth $13. They're not worth $13 plus the days of agony that they require to actually find them.
And it sucks because some of the upcoming rounds, like the Yoshi yarn ones and the Splatoon, they all seem really interesting and they seem differentiated from the way they've been offering them in the past. And I've been more interested in those. But at the same time, the buying experience is so terrible that I don't even care anymore. And that's been like a week since they announced them, and I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's really so beyond me that, Nintendo is doing so many retailer-exclusive amiibo when the retailers have proven that they can't handle it, and B, that Nintendo still can't handle it. That Nintendo is still so grossly undersupplying stock, especially because, I mean, I think what happened with Wave 4 is that people realized, okay, amiibo are in really short supply, so I'm going to try to get them while I can.
Yeah.
So a lot more people were going out trying to buy amiibo at the first chance than they were in the previous waves, which made the issue seem worse than it is, or worse than it was, rather. But it didn't make it seem worse than it is, because that's the same number of people who want amiibo to begin with.
Right.
See, the biggest problem I have with all of this is Nintendo's really gotten kind of a mixed message going here. I wrote an editorial about this today, or it'll be yesterday now if you're listening to this podcast, where their strategy seems like they're treating amiibo like a collector's item. They're undershipping, they're doing retailer exclusives, they're, you know, everything's sold out, building up hype, everyone has to, you know, wait around the phone to, what year is it? Wait around the internet to pre-order these things. But they've started plugging them a lot in commercials, and specifically in commercials targeted at families, at moms and dads, at kids. So their shipping methods and their distribution methods imply that they're trying to keep amiibo as, you know, this rare item, this collector's item, where most of the value comes from the fact that it's rare. But then their marketing, all their commercials are saying, hey, buy amiibo for your kids. Check out what amiibo does in this game. It's a very mixed message to me, and I feel like Nintendo needs to either pick one side or the other. Either they need to stop wasting money on advertising amiibo to family when, you know, most families can't really go out and get them, or they need to start supplying amiibo in just much greater amounts.
So I think perhaps the most frustrating thing about this for so many people, which is at the same time hilarious, but also pretty infuriating, is that Nintendo seems to treat amiibo, they don't downplay the problem. They pretend that there is no problem to begin with. And this isn't just, like, at the executive level. This is at, like, the level of their amiibo Twitter account. Like, Nintendo of America tweeted, like, which amiibo do you want this Easter? And the responses were just pure vitriol.
People were saying, wasn't that after it already sold out, though?
That was after it sold out.
Yeah.
Which shows just an insane level of obliviousness to just how upset their consumers are.
Oh, and the really depressing thing is it's seeping into the way they talk about their games. It's not just this isolated thing that's off to the side. Because in the Nintendo Direct, they focus so much on how the new amiibo will give you stuff in your game. And so many people are just not going to be able to experience that at all. And yet here they are touting it in their major, like, announcement blitz for the spring.
And that's a big problem, because when Nintendo finally started dabbling in DLC after being, you know, sort of hesitant about it for years, one big thing they said is that they didn't want you to feel like you had to pay extra for content in your game. They didn't want anyone to feel like they were missing out on content. And now you're locking content behind amiibo and then making those amiibo almost impossible to get.
Yeah, you've somehow made DLC a scarcity. Like, how does that even work?
Not very well.
Can I at least buy the amiibo functionality for like a dollar? Since you obviously don't want to sell me the goods.
So, I mean, I think what we're sort of getting at here is, has Nintendo become exactly what a year ago Nintendo's fans were saying should never happen and Nintendo was promising would not happen?
Honestly, at this point, I feel like Nintendo has become EA, except for worse. Because they have the hubris to think that they can dress it up behind this toy platform and, you know, get away with it being a collector's item. And we have great Nintendo IP, so you love us anyway.
See, I would not say that that's a bad comparison by any means. I think it's pretty good. I would say the main difference is that I think EA is EA out of greed. Nintendo is Nintendo out of just stupidity.
Well, they're not a toy company, and they're trying to be they're trying to sell toys, and
they're doing it so badly.
And if you look at the competing toy lines, the Disney Infinity and the Skylanders, those are coming from established toy companies who have good merchandising acumen. And they don't. I mean, you do have problems with getting specific figures, but it's nothing nearly to this widespread to the widespread extent that Amiibo is in terms of the scarcity.
So how much of this do you think is just bad decision making by Nintendo versus poor planning, like not knowing what the demand is?
I mean, I think it's 50-50. I think it was acceptably poor planning to begin with. But after Wave 1, and especially after Wave 2, they should have realized we need to ramp up production on these things. And they just simply didn't. And now everyone is trying to go out and buy Amiibo right the moment they launch, because they know that if they don't get them at launch, they won't get them at all. And now so many people are trying to do that that nobody can even get them at launch, because they're sold out within 2 minutes.
Yeah, and it's only going to multiply as they add more lines of Amiibo. Right now, it's not so bad because the Mario line is mostly duplicated from the Smash Bros. Line.
And it's also, the Mario line is well-stocked.
And that's another thing. And the Mario Smash Bros. Figures were already well-stocked.
Well, right, that's another thing that has me so confused, because no one's having trouble getting the Mario figures. But somehow, the Smash Bros. Series is still just so horribly undersupplied.
Yeah, the Smash Bros. Figures even have a larger addressable market, because everybody, more people have Smash Bros. than Mario Party 10 or Captain Toad. Sorry, bud.
Right. Don't blaspheme.
They're also having the same trouble with Splatoon. So it's a matter, I think, of them believing that Mario is such this iconic franchise that they should have tons and tons of Amiibo for them. But for whatever reason, not realizing that Smash Bros. Is that important to Nintendo's fans. You know, Mario may be more important to the wider public, but Smash Bros. Has a lot more of the devoted fans who are going to try to get the Amiibos of their favorite characters, not just of Mario and Luigi.
Right. Well, and then you look at Mario Kart, which is also, that's even Mario still, and it uses Amiibo from outside of Mario, and they don't seem to be prioritizing letting people experience that.
Right.
So, short version, we're angry.
Yes.
Well, it's not just us. It's everyone who cares about Nintendo.
We represent everyone who cares about Nintendo.
We are the 99%.
Yeah, anyway, I could harp on this more, but...
But we have other things to discuss. Like, for example, the gameplay demo of Zelda Wii U was one of the biggest highlights of the Game Awards last year, but it almost didn't happen. Jeff Cayley organized the event, and he said that the Zelda U demo was added to the Game Awards, quote, super last minute. They weren't planning it. Seems like it was a sort of a rush job from Aonuma and the rest of the folks at Nintendo.
I mean, you definitely get that impression just watching it. They literally were sitting.
Are you sure it'll come out in 2015?
Yeah. Well, and plus you just look at the things that they highlighted and the way they recorded it and the way they cut it, and it wasn't this orchestrated, ready-to-go footage. It was really raw, really work in progress.
Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, revealed on Twitter that he supports the idea of Banjo-Kazooie in Super Smash Bros. He said it would be cool to have them in, there would be no issue with IP licensing, and after some early confusion on the Smash Bros. Fighter ballot, Nintendo clarified that third-party characters are indeed eligible for Super Smash Bros. So, the dream for Banjo-Kazooie is alive again. We'll talk about this more in the discussion section in a few minutes. But briefly, do either of you guys have any thoughts on that? YouTuber Angry Joe has announced that he will stop making videos about Nintendo games after being hit by a copyright claim. Angry Joe is a huge, huge YouTuber, and he is no longer making any Nintendo videos in protest of their YouTube Creators Program policies. So, Ben, why don't you give us a quick rundown on what the creator policies are and why they're not too popular.
Right. YouTube has, in recent years, you know, changed some things where it's a lot easier for people that own intellectual properties to come in and shut your videos down if they contain your intellectual properties, or to claim all the revenue that you're making off it. So Nintendo came up with what they thought was a pretty good compromise, where you can register videos with Nintendo and then split the revenue with them. But they have a very specific list of games that are approved, and if your game is not on that list, then you can't monetize it. And then additionally, you can earn extra revenue by monetizing your whole page, but to do that, you have to have only Nintendo videos on your page, which is just a huge inconvenience for people that already have a lot of subscribers. So Angry Joe, big surprise, is quite angry because he was hit with one of these copyright claims. You know, Nintendo told him he had to take some videos down, or he had to surrender the revenue to him, and, well, that just didn't go over so well. So that kind of begs the question, when you see these popular YouTubers like Angry Joe and PewDiePie and things like that, that there's a lot of them now speaking out against Nintendo specifically. And at this point, you just have to wonder, especially in terms of public relations, if this is doing more bad than good. Because it was intended as a way to reach out to gamers and sort of, you know, mend fences and say, you know, hey, you know, we've come up with a solution where we can still profit, but you guys don't have to take your videos down. But it seems like it's gotten almost exclusively negative press.
This episode sounds like it's basically the Nintendo is very blind to what's actually happening episode.
I mean, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you, Ben. I think it is doing more harm than good, because a lot of these YouTubers... I mean, first of all, the program is meant to get Nintendo revenue from some of the videos that use their copyrighted material for commentary or for whatever. But when they have people reacting like this and boycotting coverage of their copyrighted material in protest of these policies, then they're losing out on all that coverage that they are trying to get in the first place.
Right, and some of these people have several million subscribers, so that's a lot of free advertising down the drain, essentially.
So the CEO of DNA, Nintendo's new business partner for their mobile endeavor, has announced that the company aims to make over $25 million every month with Nintendo mobile games. Pokemon Shuffle has recently hit 3 million downloads, and that kind of success, Ben, you think is really indicative of good things to come for Nintendo's mobile plans, right?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance, because it shows that Nintendo is able to popularize a game with a free-to-play model, because Pokemon Shuffle, like you said, has 3 million downloads, but it's what's more impressive to me is that it's consistently getting about 500,000 new downloads every week, because Nintendo keeps adding new content to it, and they keep, you know, making videos advertising it, and so on and so forth. And that's the big staple of their mobile plans, is that they don't want to just, you know, make a whole bunch of games. They want to make games that they can continue to support over time and continue to draw in new players over time. And so far, with Pokemon Shuffle, we've seen them do that on 3DS, which has a much, much lower install base than, you know, smartphones and tablets and things like that. So I think there's a lot of potential for Nintendo to introduce new fans to Nintendo characters like Mario and Link and Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and going back to the DNA projections, $25 million seems like a lot, but for a company like Nintendo, that would be, I wouldn't say it's a blip, but, you know, they bring in billions of dollars of revenue a year, so this wouldn't be that huge a share of their revenues.
Right, and when DNA, they were basing that estimate off of their most successful game was bringing in $25 million a month, and they believe that with, you know, Nintendo's IP attached to the DNA brand, that they can exceed that amount.
Nintendo's browser-based eShop is now live, so you can go to the site and order digital games for your Wii U and 3DS. So this sounds a lot cooler than it actually is. Basically, all they've done is add a buy digital button that lets you purchase the games from their individual pages on Nintendo.com. But it is kind of neat. They do automatically download to your system while you are away. So that's nice.
Yeah, it would be nicer if they were able to design their front end of their webpage to be more built with this kind of functionality in mind. But I'll take it.
Well, I imagine this is something they'll improve on when they launch their new membership program that DNA is helping them build.
Yeah, I hope so.
Nintendo has also announced that they will be publishing Yo-Kai Watch outside of Japan. We've talked about Yo-Kai Watch on this podcast before. But what's really interesting is that their announcement really highlighted the series' success at selling merchandise in Japan. So we can probably expect to see a similar sort of cross-media merchandising push when it launches in Western territories. I think my question, and I don't know if this is also your guys' question, but my question is, we've seen this stuff happen with Amiibo. Are they going to do an effective job merchandising it?
I guess the question is how much Level 5 is going to be involved for me, because Level 5 doesn't seem to have screwed it up. So as long as they sort of guide Nintendo on their merchandising strategy.
I don't think Nintendo's really in a position where they can mess this up, because they're not handling, like, the toy lines or anything like that. Level 5's teaming up with Hasbro for the toy lines, and they also have plans to bring the manga over and to localize the anime as well. Their CEO actually said that, you know, they're not gonna just launch the games in America or Europe or anything like that unless they can make it a full multimedia experience where you've got the games and the anime and the manga and the toys all at the same time. So far they've done a very good job of that in Japan. And, you know, like I said, Nintendo's not exclusively responsible for all of this. They'll be focusing on the games, so.
Well, that's encouraging.
So after two previous presentations on the world and the battle system, Monolith Soft will share a Xenoblade Chronicles X live stream in Japan on its mech-based gameplay on April 10th. In addition, Monolith Soft also recently revealed details on the class system in Chronicles X. Your class will impact the gear that you use, as well as the kinds of arts that you can specialize in. So there's an assault class that focuses on melee attacks and defense, a command class that focuses on heavy hitting arts, and a forcer class that focuses on ranged attacks. Monolith Soft also explained how buffs and debuffs will work. Some will trigger with some specific arts, some will activate based on the weather, others will have an area of effect, some will even be based on the data probes that you set up across Planet Mira, the planet that the game takes place on.
Yeah, so I've sort of mentioned this when we've talked about Xenoblade previously, but it sounds like they're taking a lot of core systems from Xenoblade Chronicles, which, by the way, is releasing on 3DS soon. Yay! And they're expanding them and making them kind of more appropriate to the kind of create-your-own-character approach that they're taking with the main character this time. And they're also really amping up the way systems like the weather will impact gameplay. You know, before they were there, but they weren't as impactful as they are now. So I'm excited to see how deep this is going to be, and especially how it's sort of a truly new franchise will be reborn on Wii U.
Popular indie studios are pushing to get their characters in Super Smash Bros. So we see the people behind Super Meat Boy pushing to get Meat Boy in. Nicalis is pushing Quote from Cave Story. Choice Provisions is promoting Commander Video from Bit Trip, who has the trophy in Smash Bros. Already. Yacht Club, of course, is happy to see so much support for Shovel Knight. They started a hashtag Shovel Knight for Smash. And WayForward is pushing for Shantae. Oh, and the people behind Adventure Quest, that online game from like 2005, I want to say, are hoping for some character that I'd never heard of, even though I played Adventure Quest.
I'm sure he'll get in.
I mean, do we think these are realistic? I mean, it seems a little presumptuous to think that someone like Atrix, the Adventure Quest guy, could have any sort of shot whatsoever. I mean, characters like Shantae and Shovel Knight and the Gunvolt from Mighty Gunvolt by Inti Creates, which is Inafune, they're on Nintendo platforms, but characters like Meat Boy have never been, they've launched exclusively not on Nintendo.
Shovel Knight is the only character on that list that's not just a wild fantasy by an indie developer hoping to get some more fame.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I'm sure they're all having fun with it, pushing their characters, and you know, I think it's a good time. But I also don't think any of this is really realistic.
Colin is the crusher of dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with Ben that if any of them is going to get in, it's going to be Shovel Knight. But at the same time, there's just too many of these indie characters for any of them to really stand out, even.
Except for Shovel Knight.
Except for Shovel Knight. But even then, Shovel Knight still seems kind of like a long shot to me.
You know, he seems kind of like a hook shot for me.
Now, do you think the fact that Shovel Knight's getting extra DLC content? DLC content, let's try that again. Do you think the fact that Shovel Knight's getting some extra DLC stuff that wasn't in Nintendo's platforms on Sony and Microsoft, do you think that'll affect the decision at all?
I think that given that Shovel Knight is now coming to other platforms that aren't Nintendo consoles, that gives him less clout as a Nintendo character, like as a Smash Bros. Candidate. But I think that there's so much support behind Shovel Knight that it's not unrealistic, even with the Microsoft and Sony DLC.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be that Shovel Knight gets Nintendo-exclusive content to match kind of the Sony and Microsoft offer. It could be that the Nintendo-exclusive for Shovel Knight is Shovel Knight being in Smash Bros.
Yeah, I was about to say. Anyway, we can talk more about this in the discussion section, because there is a lot to say about Shovel Knight. Let's move on to the lightning round. So we're going to conclude the news segment with the lightning round, and then we'll come back to talk about Smash Bros. So, some upcoming dates to look out for. Xenoblade Chronicles 3D releases this Friday. It's been getting some pretty good reviews, so if you want to check it out, by all means do. But get it on the physical game card, because digitally, it's almost 4 gigabytes. It's going to take up almost all of your system memory. Anyway, that's this Friday.
Look forward to our review later this week.
That game comes out this Friday. That is April 10th. On April 15th, Mewtwo is available for download for free for anyone who registered both versions of Smash Bros. On Club Nintendo. He will be available for everyone else on April 28th at $3.99 per game, or $4.99 if you buy him for both versions of the game at the same time. On April 23rd, Mario Kart 8 DLC Pack 2 launches with 3 new racers, 4 new karts, and 8 new courses for $7.99. Additionally, a 200cc mode will be available for download on that same day, completely free to everybody. And this month, there is a lot of Nintendo 64 and DS games coming to the Wii U Virtual Console. WarioWare Touched and Yoshi's Touch and Go release on April 9th, which is Thursday. Donkey Kong 64 releases April 16th, and Mario Kart DS releases April 23rd. And finally, Paper Mario releases on April 30th. And then, so we've got a lightning round of new information. The second free DLC pack for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is out. It features a Mario costume and a Sonic costume. Box Boy is here, we think. It's the new game by Hell Labs, and it's been getting pretty good reception from fans, so you should check it out. It's not very expensive. It seems like a fun game. Rock Band is coming back with Rock Band 4, and though it's not coming to Wii U, they say they haven't ruled out a Wii U version. So if you're dying for it on Nintendo consoles, make sure that you voice that to them. Digital Foundry got to play Splatoon, and they say it runs at a smooth 60 frames per second all the time, which is fantastic, especially for a team-based shooter. We have some footage of Mewtwo's moveset and Lucas's moveset as compared to Melee and Brawl, respectively, so you can check those out at Gamnesia.com. Similarly, we got 17 minutes of footage from Pokemon Rumble World, which is coming to 3DS soon. A fan is blending Super Metroid with Metroid Fusion in one game called Super Metroid X Fusion. It looks really cool. You can check out some screenshots and some footage at Gamnesia.com. If you're a big Metroid fan, that should be super exciting. It basically blends a lot of the elements of Fusion into Super Metroid. Hyperkin, the people behind the Retron 5, are making a device that turns iPhone 6 Plus into a Game Boy, cartridges and all. So you can bring your old cartridges up to speed on modern hardware, and they say they are working on versions for other phones soon. The Binding of Isaac Rebirth is coming to Wii U, Xbox One, and new Nintendo 3DS. This is significant because Nintendo, for the longest time, was rejecting the game for release on 3DS and Wii U because of, quote, questionable religious content and other things like Isaac is naked, I think. I don't play much Binding of Isaac, but that is a big win for indie developers. That is a big win for Binding of Isaac fans. Oddly enough, it's only coming to new 3DS, but we're not really sure why that is, but it's on Nintendo platforms. You can head to Gamnesia.com to read more about how that came to be and how Nintendo came around. During a special live stream event about the future of the company, Level 5 announced 6 new Yo-Kai Watch games. There's Yo-Kai Watch 3, the spin-off Yo-Kai Watch Busters, both of which we talked about before, an unnamed collaboration with Koei Temco, and 3 Yo-Kai Watch mobile games. Layton 7 and Fantasy Life 2 were also announced. They are for mobile devices, so you can head to Gamnesia if you want to learn more. Level 5 has also announced Snack World, a cross-media project coming to 3DS and mobile devices. This is the property that they say is going to be a bigger seller than Yo-Kai Watch. We'll see if that's true. All right, guys, so we are going to go to the break, and after that, we are going to talk about the Super Smash Bros. Fighters ballot and which characters we'd like to see as DLC, which characters we think could be coming as DLC, basically our predictions, thoughts, wishes, all of the wonderful stuff that accompanies Super Smash Bros. Theorizing and Super Smash Bros. Hype. So, do stay tuned. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to More Nintendo Week. I am your host, Colin McIsaac, and as always, I'm joined by Alex Plant.
Vote for me for Smash.
And Ben LeMoreau.
Live and in the flesh.
Today, we are talking about which characters we want to see as Super Smash Bros. DLC. They released the fighter ballot, yada yada. You probably know all this. But we're going to talk about which characters we want, which characters we expect, some information on polls, some speculation, some predictions, some you know, talking about what ways characters might play. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, with that said, let's open it up with the Super Smash Bros. Official website. There are 5 open slots on the website after Mewtwo has been announced. One is probably for Lucas, and 4, we think, may go to Smash Bros. DLC characters. It's unclear whether these are just placeholder spots or whether they reserved these spots for DLC characters and just didn't update the code of the website to properly hide them. It's not really worth tons of speculation on. It basically is what it is.
Well, the one thing I'm curious about is, if this is true, if there are going to be 4 more characters, it took them a long time to release Mewtwo, and, you know, it's going to be another long amount of time until Lucas comes out. If they continue at this rate of releasing characters like every 4 to 6 months or something, we could have a couple years of Smash Bros. DLC.
Well, it'll be 2 months between Mewtwo and Lucas.
Right, but I mean, we don't know when they started working on Lucas is the thing, because they'll have to start fresh from scratch with all these DLC options.
I think that they've also started on some other DLC already. I'm sure they're working on Wolf, probably a solo Ice Climber.
And Ridley,
yeah, I was
going
to say, I'm based guessing on fan at reactions, least 2 of those other slots are probably for other characters, and probably veteran fighters. Mm-hmm.
What I kind of expect, and this is actually a great segue, thank you, Ben, what I kind of expect is this pattern that they'll release one more character every 2 to 3 months. And I think that sometimes they're going to correspond with game launches. Like, I think Wolf makes tons of sense to correspond with the release of Star Fox for Wii U. Lucas, we already said, would make so much sense to correspond with a Western Virtual Console release of Mother 3. The jury's still out on that one. But I think that some of them have already begun development, and the ones that they're judging based on the fighter ballot are going to be the ones that come at a later date.
Well, especially since we've established this last time, but the fighter ballot closes in October, so that's way off from now. And I'm sure it would take them time to develop the character after that, so probably at least 6 months after that.
Right. So let's talk about some results from the Smash poll. We held our own poll at Gamnesia.com, and there's also a survey sample from Reddit from Smash Bros. Fans based on, you know, who is voting for whom. Here on our own site, Banjo-Kazooie won first place by a really wide margin, by 10% of the vote, over the next character, which was Shovel Knight. And then we've got Bayonetta, Isaac, Snake, Rayman, Girahim, so on and so on. We could talk about other characters. But the Reddit one has Shovel Knight in first place with 15% of the vote, then King K. Rool in second, then Snake, Isaac, Wolf, Ice Climbers, so forth.
What I like about the Reddit poll is Shrek got 1.71% of the vote.
So some of the interesting things I noticed here is that third-party characters are definitely winning these Smash polls. Shovel Knight has been pretty consistently at or near the top of these polls. Banjo-Kazooie is also a popular choice. The most consistently popular, which I found interesting, was Isaac from Golden Sun, which is a first-party Nintendo IP. He's seems to be the most popular Nintendo character that's making these polls. But whereas characters like Shovel Knight and Banjo-Kazooie have really strong, like, fan bases voting for them, Isaac seems to be the character who nobody disagrees with, and a bunch of people want him, even though it's not enough to make him number 1 or number 2 in any of the polls. He's still getting, like, number 3 or number 4 in just about every single one of them.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's from a franchise that isn't represented yet with a fighter. And not only that, but he's somewhat similar to a lot of the characters we already have, and so it's easy to imagine him fitting in.
And I mean, I think he would also have such a great moveset, and he's a swordsman, he's a mage. The magic and the Jin powers that they have in Golden Sun are really a very different brand of magic that from what we've already seen in Smash and from what we see in a lot of other JRPGs. So I think there's also that aspect that Golden Sun is, I mean, such a great series, but also such an imaginative one that would fit really well with the style of Smash.
They definitely have a lot of options for final Smashes with Isaac.
Oh my god. Almost too many.
Have to do a separate poll to narrow them down.
They could almost just have, like, a blanket effect and then just swap in different summon animations.
That, I think, would be better than having, you know, a specific summon, because that way you can represent more more of the characters.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the effect is basically the same, it'd be fair, because he wouldn't have too many final smashes, and mm-hmm. but he'd have
really cool visual effects.
So what I also found interesting was, more often than not, newcomers seem to be more popular choices for characters than veteran fighters, like Wolf, like Popo, like Roy. So I wonder how much of this DLC will be veteran fighters versus how much will be newcomers. Because veterans are obviously, like I think we've said before, a lot easier to make for Smash 4 DLC than newcomers are.
Right, Mewtwo and Lucas both recycle their movesets. I mean, there's changes to them, both aesthetically and just based on the footage we've seen, it looks like. Yeah, it looks like maybe, you know, they have different ranges or do more or less damage than before, but it's still basically the same moveset, just the physics
right,
of it is tweaked a little bit.
They're just rebalanced a little.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, another thing that can help the release schedule of 2 to 3 months between characters is if they pad out the time between Lucas and whatever the fighter ballot winners are with characters that were cut from past games. The four that seem to be the most popular are Wolf, Ice Climber, Snake, and Roy. And obviously, Snake, there may be a little bit of contention there about whether or not Nintendo would actually want to do that, because Metal Gear Solid hasn't really been on Nintendo consoles since the GameCube era. The GameCube era is why he got into Smash Bros. In the
except
first place.
Except for the Snake Eater remake on 3DS.
I said really.
He did say consoles. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Although they did they did recently release a digital version of Snake Eater on the 3DS eShop.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I think I remember that.
So maybe that's their subtle way of hinting to Nintendo that they really want Snake to be in Smash.
Well, not to mention, like you said before, you know, he only got in before because, well, Sakurai and Hideo Kojima are friends and whatnot, and I'm not sure they could do that same arrangement anymore, because I'm not sure Hideo Kojima even exists anymore. No one's seen him in weeks, so.
So I think Snake is an interesting prospect because so many of the characters that are in Smash Bros. Now seem to be chosen not based on their legacy or their moveset potential, but rather their prominence in Nintendo's current market. So previously, the villager from Animal Crossing, Sakurai said he was considering making villager playable in Brawl, but he couldn't fight well, so that wouldn't work.
Little did he know.
Then New Leaf came out, and villager, you know, obviously in Smash 4, and he's a great character. But at the same time, we also see, you know, a huge crop of characters in this generation of for newcomers that seem to be chosen based on their relevance.
Like Lucina
far above their
or Robin
uniqueness and their ability to fight.
Oh, well, yeah, if you put it that way, yeah, Duck Hunt would be a good example.
They always have a retro character. It was Ice Climbers, then Pit, then Duck Hunt now. I mean, Duck Hunt's not a good example, because Duck Hunt is Duck Hunt. But the others, you know, we've got Rosalina, Wii Fit Trainer, Villager, Robin and Lucina, Greninja, all these characters who are really promoting modern generation games.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a good segue to one of the characters that I was thinking of voting for myself, which is the Inklings from Splatoon. Who I think wouldn't get in on the virtue of having a unique moveset, but I think they'd get in on virtue of being sort of a strategic important property for Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Given that they're getting their own amiibo line and everything. I mean, they would have a pretty cool moveset. It'd be nice to, you know, bog people down with ink or speed up by moving through your own ink or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one of the up-and-coming franchises that Nintendo's really trying to push, and it would make sense for them to push it into Smash Bros. As well if they're thinking of adding more characters.
Yeah. I was originally thinking Inklings could be a prime contender, but then...
He had an Inkling. I will make that joke every time we bring up the game.
That's okay, Ben. It never gets old. But after seeing the data from, like, sample surveys of the Smash poll, it seems like nobody's voting for them. So I don't know. I think Nintendo may reconsider that. I think they're obviously going to prioritize a lot of the DLC based on who is voting for what characters rather than what characters make sense in a larger strategy.
Right, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to gain a lot of momentum for characters that aren't playable yet. And this poll is going all the way until October. So people will have had a chance to go hands-on with the Inklings by then. So it's possible
that's
we
true.
Could see
yeah.
things turn around a little bit once that's added to the mix.
Yeah, anyway, but so what characters do we all want to see personally in Smash? Alex, you said Inklings. Are there anyone else? Is there anyone else you want?
Inklings are up there. I actually would like to see Bomberman, and I know he's basically dropped off the history of gaming at this point now that Hudson's gone under. But
wait, what do you mean? There was that awesome gritty reboot for Xbox.
There was. I don't know.
Yeah, you haven't heard of this?
There, no. I
look it up another time.
I'm being.
If you're listening, you should look it.
I'm being
it up
wildly sarcastic.
Oh, well.
So yeah, he'd be one of my picks, but I don't think it's going to happen just because he's in kind of licensing hell probably. I would like to see from on the third party side though, and I think this is possibly realistic. I would like to see a classic Final Fantasy character. So perhaps Moogles or Black Mage, since those are the two standout iconic ones, and they've already appeared in some of the Mario sports crossovers.
Hoops 3-on-3.
So Nintendo has a history of celebrating these characters, and I think that they would fit in well with the Smash roster, given their focus on classic characters.
On the subject of newer characters that are relevant right now, I think Bayonetta.
Captain Toad.
Obviously Captain Toad is, you know. Captain Toad is Bay, but
the question is, will Captain Toad be able to jump?
Yeah, he will.
They'll figure out some way to get around that. But I think Bayonetta would be a good choice, just because Bayonetta 2, you know, it got such critical acclaim and everything, but the audience is still kind of small. But Platinum Games has expressed interest in making a Bayonetta 3 for Wii U, and I think including that character in Smash Bros. Would be a really good way of expanding that brand and getting more recognition for the character. But, you know, it's already a character that has a really dedicated following. It's just kind of a smaller following. So I think it's a good way of catering to some of the more dedicated fans and also branching out and maybe attracting new fans to the Bayonetta brand.
Bayonetta is actually a very popular choice for the Smash poll. She is fourth in our poll behind Banjo-Kazooie, Shovel Knight, and Other. And she is, she's actually like sixth or seventh in the Reddit poll. But, she still stands out as one of the more popular ones. And, of course, moveset would be easy. The thing I'm concerned about Bayonetta is just this whole sexuality aspect. Because we know that Tharja was originally a trophy. Tharja from Fire Emblem Awakening was originally a trophy in the 3DS version. But her outfit was deemed too revealing by the ESRB, and Nintendo had to take it out if they wanted to get an, I think, E10 plus rating is what Smash Bros. Is.
Yeah.
So adding Bayonetta may bring up some complications with the ESRB. And
well, especially
Tharja's outfit isn't that revealing, especially compared to someone whose clothes come off when she attacks.
Well, it's not even just the outfits. It's the fact that her provocative animations, I guess, are so
her
much.
Her whole personality is very overtly sexual.
Precisely, yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just something that I think Nintendo wants to avoid in their, or is hoping to avoid in their fighting game, because it's a very campy, cartoony, aimed at kids kind of thing. And someone like Bayonetta, her nature as a character just inherently conflicts with that.
Yeah, and they're very faithful to how these characters are originally depicted, so I don't think that they'd do some kind of toned-down version of Bayonetta either.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and, I would like to see Bayonetta in Smash, but I just don't think Nintendo would.
Yeah, it might not be very realistic.
I think it's the only issue. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's sort of weird that they're finally opening up something like this, because it feels like all the top standout picks I had when I was going into Smash 4 when they first announced it are already in the game. Like my original top picks were Pelotena, Pac-Man, and there's someone else who actually got in, and I can't remember who it was.
Aren't you lucky? My top picks were Waluigi, Paper Mario, King K. Rool, Isaac, Girahim. Mewtwo is finally back, but still, that was a little touchy. So I was not feeling it. Even with Shulk in the game, I was not feeling it.
You know, you bring up Paper Mario, and something we've talked about in previous podcasts is that there may or may not be a new Paper Mario game in development for Wii U. You know, the developer that makes Paper Mario has been working on a Wii U game, which they haven't revealed yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you brought up the idea of releasing Smash characters to coincide with new games. I think it would be great to get Paper Mario as a DLC character in Smash Bros. Right as a new Paper Mario game launches alongside Wii U.
And you have no idea how badly I want Paper Mario in Smash.
Yeah, his moveset would be spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, so, well, do you guys want to talk about, like, movesets for potential characters? Because, you know, There's a lot of stuff to discuss.
It's one of those awkward conversations where I know inevitably anything that I could imagine would be very far off what actually happens. So I don't put a tremendous, like Pac-Man, for example, a couple of his moves that involved him chomping things were totally things I would have imagined. But then you have the
I never could have seen that final smash coming.
Oh, I'm thinking of the fire hydrant, because I never played Pac-Land. Who played Pac-Land?
Right.
Really sad that that was a stage, too.
Yeah, oh, God, don't get me started on that. It looks like it was made in MS Paint.
He started
you
on
already,
it.
You already got me started. yeah, I mean, movesets are definitely tricky, but I feel like characters like Paper Mario, like Shovel Knight, maybe even King K. Rool, who already have, like, very distinct movesets in their games that would be very easy to translate into Smash Bros. I think those we can make some, you know, pretty safe guesses on.
Well, what kind of character do you have in mind that you'd like to
dream
up?
I don't know. Well, so like Paper Mario, for example, like a B-side would be like he stomps on one of the turtle buddies and, you know, smashes him forward. His B would be a hammer. His roll would be the actual paper tube thing.
That'd be great.
Recovery would be the paper airplane from Thousand Year Door. Like, his standing dodge animation would be the paper ability from Thousand Year
Colin Day. Colin has an entire fanfic written out about this.
No, I just mean it's easy to come up with things like this. Shovel Knight, for example, like, the B move could just be digging the shovel and sending that shockwave out. Side Smash could be, like, that charged shovel attack would work kind of like Meta Knight's. Recovery would be that Propeller Knight, I think it is, that has, like, the sword who, like, flies in the air. I don't know. But I just mean there's a lot of opportunity for these very distinct movesets to work in Smash Bros. Similarly to the way they do in the games.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna go there, Inkling, they could do a thing where you spray a wall and then you can walk up the wall in squid form.
There are no walls in Smash Bros. Though.
Yeah, there are. On some stages.
Not many.
I mean, it wouldn't just be walls. It'd be floors, bottoms of stages, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how you'd spray those, but...
Maybe. I don't know. I think Inkling is a lot harder to think of something for.
Paint Roller.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of tools that you get to, like Paint Roller. That's a good example. You know, bouncing over to your teammates if you're in a team battle. I think it could be a very specialized character in a way that a lot of Smash Bros. Characters can't be right now.
So, were you guys terrible people like me, and did you go and vote for, like, obnoxious fake characters that'll never possibly get in?
No.
Oh, maybe I'm the only one.
Unless you count Waluigi.
So
a lot of people count Waluigi, but I don't. I want Waluigi.
It's funny that you mentioned that, though, because I've been kind of wondering, like, if they get a lot, I mean, they're bound to get a lot of submissions, but if they get, like, a lot of submissions that kind of almost make it, do you think they'll introduce an update with more assist trophies?
I think that's very likely, honestly. I was surprised at how few assist trophies there were.
How few new ones, you mean? Yeah.
Well... I mean, both.
Really?
I was expecting a lot. Yeah,
I felt like there were a lot more assist trophies. Especially given how many Pokemon there are.
Eh, I don't know. I feel like there were about the same amount as there were in Brawl. And there were a lot of them that were cut from Brawl. And I feel like there were about the same number introduced in Smash 4. That said, I don't play with items on all that much.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since I've seen, you know,
maybe they added more items and that's what I'm
thinking
of.
But I think, yeah, I think they just... It doesn't seem like there are that many more characters introduced to me. But it's really weird to me that we don't have, like, a Donkey Kong character assist trophy. We don't have a lot of assist trophies for characters that I really would have expected. We got Takamaru, we got Dylan, but I'm surprised there's no, like, Chibi-Robo. I'm surprised they got rid of the custom Robo assist trophy. I'm surprised that there's no sort of Pushmo kind of thing going on, or Harmonite. It's just... There seems to be a lot of stuff that's missing from their current assist trophy lineup that I think, especially given all the playable character requests, they may introduce some more.
Yeah, especially I hope so. Nice especially compromise. if they add new franchises, that'd be really nice.
Mm-hmm. But that could also be a great way to introduce, you know, if they don't make playable characters of Toad and Inklings and stuff, that would be a great way to put those sort of newer characters into the game. Because it doesn't seem like there is a lot of enthusiasm for, well, Toad and Inkling specifically. You know, they are important enough characters, I think, to Nintendo's current strategy that it would make sense to include them in some fashion.
Right. You mentioned no Donkey Kong assist trophies, so that raised a question for me. So who do we think is more likely to be a playable character, Dixie Kong or Cranky Kong?
More likely to be playable character, I would imagine Dixie Kong. I would hope Cranky Kong, because I personally love Cranky Kong. But if we're talking about Donkey Kong playable characters, it's so obviously King K. Rool.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I used to think that he and Dixie Kong were kind of neck and neck for that spot, but then Smash 4 came along and neither of them got in, which I'm still shocked by. But either way, after the fan poll, it's so clear that King K. Rool is by far the more popular Donkey Kong character.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are just so few villains represented in Smash Bros.
Right. They got rid of one of the villains from Brawl. I think there are actually fewer villains now in Smash 4 than there were in Brawl, which is shocking.
I guess the good guys are winning.
Oh my god.
Well, they're also fighting each other, so they're bound to kill each other off at some point.
Yeah, they're just training.
So I think that is part of it, but King K. Rool also, he's a very character-y character. And Donkey Kong is a very character-y series. And it's weird that it doesn't have more than two characters when it's A, so character-y, and B, their fourth best-selling franchise.
Yeah. And plus, really like, weird. Funky Kong, okay?
Oh, la, 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 la. Yeah, I don't want that to happen. So Banjo-Kazooie has been a really, really popular suggestion. Like I said, on our poll, it's number one. People have been so hyped now that Phil Spencer said it would be cool, there would be no licensing trouble. And obviously, Banjo and Kazooie are such perfect fits for the rest of the Nintendo cast. The question is whether they're still likely. You know, before Phil Spencer said this stuff, people, it seemed, really wanted Banjo-Kazooie, but it kind of sheltered their hopes deep down, locked in these dungeons of emotion, never seeing the light of day, because Banjo and Kazooie were a Microsoft character, and there's no way that Microsoft would let their character into Smash. But Phil Spencer said this stuff, those dungeon emotions have been unleashed, and there's a real, like, hype train for Banjo-Kazooie and Smash, and I think it's worth asking the question, is it likely? Obviously, it would be fantastic, but is it likely?
I think it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. Like you said earlier, a big focus for which characters Nintendo chooses to put in, it seems to be that a big focus is on what's relevant right now, you know, what they can do, what characters they can put in that relate to current brands. And it's just been so long since Banjo-Kazooie was a Nintendo IP that I don't necessarily see them doing it. And I also don't think it would help Microsoft maybe more than it would help Nintendo to include them. So including them would pretty much just be a favor to fans. And it would be a pretty awesome favor. And there is a lot of support for it. But I don't know if it's enough support that it would really warrant Nintendo actually doing it.
Right. So, I mean, there's this aspect that they are including characters that help cross-promote other brands. And like you said, I think really the only benefit that Nintendo would get out of that deal is sales on the Banjo-Kazooie DLC. Now, Banjo-Kazooie DLC would probably be the best-selling of all the DLC. It would probably make a lot of money for Nintendo, but it would end there. They wouldn't really have that cross-promotion aspect anymore, and like you said, it would be sort of more of a favor to Microsoft. So that's, I think, what's barring them from Nintendo wanting to do it. Now, what I think could be really interesting, and it's never going to happen, but is if Nintendo and Microsoft worked out a sort of deal where maybe they could release Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie on the Virtual Console for Wii U, or maybe even go into some sort of publishing or licensing agreement, because let's face it, Banjo and Kazooie on Xbox is a mutually detrimental relationship, because Banjo fans are all on Nintendo platforms, and Xbox fans couldn't care less about Banjo-Kazooie. So the franchise is losing out as a result, and Xbox isn't getting any of the new consumers that it hopes to get through Banjo-Kazooie, because it's so, so greatly conflicting with the rest of the Xbox identity.
Yeah, you kind of arrived where I was heading myself. I think that something like that, where they have that kind of agreement that Banjo-Kazooie is going to be a franchise that touches Nintendo platforms and not just Xbox, that would have to be in place before you'd see Banjo-Kazooie hit Smash Bros. And I don't think it's likely. I think it would be very healthy for Banjo-Kazooie and for Microsoft even.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that would benefit Microsoft more than keeping Banjo-Kazooie exclusive to
Well, I mean, and they're not keeping a lot of their games Xbox exclusive at this point. They're putting a lot of them on Windows, so it's not even like
I mean, that's also Microsoft,
but it's not really their platform in the sense that they don't make any revenue. They don't make any like royalties off of game sales on their Windows. Not that they make royalties off first party titles anyway, but it's not the same kind of platform as Xbox. Uh-huh. They're certainly not, you know, contributing to the popularity of Xbox by releasing something on Windows.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it seems like Banjo and Kazooie would be fantastic by every measure, a perfect fit for Smash. But I think we agree that Nintendo probably wouldn't really be interested.
I could see Nintendo saying something like, we already have Duck Hunt. We don't need another character that's a bird and a furry and a furry creature.
Another furry in Smash. What about Shovel Knight then? Shovel Knight has an immense amount of support, so much more than I expected, and he seems to be leading just about every survey sample.
I think Shovel Knight gets this thing. That's just my gut feeling.
Yeah, I mean, so Shovel Knight is interesting because he's this really, really Nintendo-y character that launched on Nintendo consoles, and I would venture to say that that is the most successful launch of a new IP
on a Nintendo platform.
Well, this generation. But I would say the most successful launch of a new character series in my lifetime on Nintendo platforms. Granted, I'm kind of young, but still, Shovel Knight is shockingly popular in so little time, and would represent, you know, a great gesture on Nintendo's part to the indie community to say, look, we value what we're doing, we want to work with you guys more and more, and we appreciate that you're making such great characters that get popular on Nintendo consoles. And I think having that really strong connection that they had with Shovel Knight with the year of Wii U and 3DS exclusivity really solidifies the likelihood of that. And until the polls, I didn't think that Shovel Knight had a chance in hell. Because why would all of these Japanese development teams see any value in a character that is getting like 90% of its sales from the West? But this has really gone to show how monumentally popular Shovel Knight is in the West.
And not only that, but how monumentally popular these kinds of styles of games are, mm-hmm. even when they come out of the West. And that's something that Nintendo really needs to step up, is reaching out to Western developers. And I know they've already been, you mentioned this already, but they're already trying to do that with indies. And what better way to really show that they're serious about it, serious about partnering with Western developers, than to bring a Western character,
a Western
third-party indie character into Smash.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Shovel Knight, of course, would have, you know, fantastic moveset potential. We kind of just talked about this a little bit earlier.
It'd be a good more melee. I say more melee because obviously not full melee, but more melee counterpart to Mega Man, mm-hmm. who's very range oriented.
So do we all agree then that we think Shovel Knight's gonna get in?
Yeah, I think so.
I would say of all the third party characters, he's probably the most likely.
Yeah, huh? Interesting.
And I wonder, and given that they've specifically said they're open to third party characters,
right? Right. All right. So I was thinking it would be fun to play a little game where we all make predictions of what the final outcome of the DLC is going to look like, and whoever is closest to right by the end of the, you know, DLC period gets some sort of prize. We'll figure that out later. I haven't thought that far ahead, but what do you guys think? Should we do it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, so who wants to go first?
You go first.
What are you going to predict? Me?
Yeah, Mr. Okay. Podcast Master.
Well, here's my predictions for this thing. And keep in mind, this is mostly just for fun. We're going to see who's closest to being right. But this is what I think it's going to end up looking like. In addition to Mewtwo and Lucas, we're going to see 6 DLC characters. I think 3 of those are going to be veteran fighters, and I think 3 of those are going to be newcomers. So the veteran fighters, I think, will be Wolf, Solo Popo, with Nana as an alt, of course. And of course, you know, given appropriate buffs to make him viable as a single character, and Roy from Fire Emblem. And I think these are going to generally release sooner than the newcomers will, because it's just a lot quicker and easier to develop and rebalance a veteran fighter than it is to build from scratch and then balance a newcomer. So I think those are going to be our 3 DLC veteran fighters. I think Wolf is probably going to launch around the same time as Star Fox U. I think Roy is just going to come whenever. Maybe they'll put Sword of Seals on Wii Virtual Console in Japan or something. And Popo maybe alongside Ice Climber on that's actually already out on Virtual Console, isn't it?
Pretty sure it is.
And I think the three newcomers are going to be Shovel Knight, Isaac from Golden Sun, because, you know, we already talked about that earlier, and King K. Rool. And I think that's going to round out the total DLC roster. I think DLC is probably going to continue until about a year from now. Maybe at the latest, I would peg until next November. And I think, of course, all the veterans are going to have the same movesets.
So your predictions are far, far more detailed than mine will be. But I agree with you on Wolf and a single Ice Climber. And I also agree with you on Shovel Knight. I don't agree on King K. Rool or Isaac. I think we'll see Inklings get in. I think that's Nintendo's going to try to promote that. And this is more of a hope than a reality, but I'll say Paper Mario for my last one.
All right. So you still think they're going to be six?
That's five. Just all I could think of off the top of my head for good choices.
Do you disagree on Roy, too?
Like I said, much less thoroughly researched than yours.
So I agree that Wolf will almost definitely be in. I'm not so sure I agree that Popo will be in, just because I think if they had a solution like that in mind for Ice Climbers, we would have seen it already. But at the same time, a lot of the veteran fighters they're bringing back were otherwise cut characters, so it's possible.
Well, I don't know. I think because of the backlash that they got from Ice Climbers not being in the game, that they're going to want to reintroduce them. I think you're right that if we were going to see a solution, we'd have seen it by now. But I also think that they are rethinking not having introduced that solution in the first place, because I'm sure they came up with that solution and decided against it. But I think now they're rethinking that decision because just of, you know, the uproar over Ice Climbers being cut.
And maybe there's a caveat to me thinking they won't get in, and that's I think they will only be brought back if they can be brought back in their original form in some fashion. And whether that means that they can't be on original 3DS but can only be on new 3DS, or whether that means they just are only on Wii U, I don't know. But I don't think they're going to make some drastic change to Ice Climbers to get them to fit on the 3DS version. I think if they're going to bring them back, they're going to bring them back in their original form. Okay. But for that reason, I also don't think they're especially likely. I agree that Shovel Knight, however, is probably the most likely newcomer from a third-party perspective. I also agree with Ben that I think Nintendo is going to heavily push the Inklings because they're pushing Splatoon, and then that means they're probably even already planned to be in the game. But as for my wild card newcomer guess, I think they'll do something kind of unexpected. I think they'll pick...
Mike Jones?
No.
Mike Tyson? My friend Mike.
Closer. No, I think they'll do Chorus Men, actually, from Rhythm Heaven. And I only say that because they were so heavily rumored during some of the early stages of Smash rumors. And especially since Rhythm Heaven is such a big franchise in Japan, I think it might actually get in.
Interesting. So you think they're really only doing one character based on the fighter ballot?
Yeah, I think they'll most likely only do one character based on the fighter ballot.
Okay. All right, so on that note, I believe we are done. Does anyone have anything else to say?
No, I'm hungry.
Does anyone else want to talk about the glory that is Waluigi?
Wah!
I take that as a no. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. This is the end of Nintendo Week for today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes or subscribe to us on YouTube at Gamnesia TV for bite-sized discussions from the show. And please head to iTunes to leave us a review. It really helps with visibility. We greatly appreciate it. We've been getting some great feedback from you guys, and it really warms our heart to read it. So thank you so much. And if you have not reviewed us yet already, please go ahead and do. If you can't wait till next week for more of our stuff, you can head to Gamnesia.com to see more gaming news as it happens. We have Sony, Microsoft, Indie, you name it, and even Nintendo news that didn't have time to be discussed on this week's show. If you have any questions or feedback for Nintendo Week, please send it to Colin@Gamnesia.com. That's Colin@Gamnesia.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you have another great week.
So the whole time you were talking about how you're not a Binding of Isaac person, all I was thinking of was the Binding of Colin McIsaac.